Anything you say can be subject to pre-show or post-show subjectification.
That's fine. I mean, that's makes it entertaining, right?
What is it? Is that even a word? Subjectification?
It is now, if it wasn't.
How about it's a no from me, dog.
It's a no for you.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our experiences in the game. We spotlight different guests and communities and our place to talk about experiences that we've had. This is Kingsley Mackinson, as usual. How you doing, Mr. Sin?
Pretty good. Pretty good. My week has been filled with movies since I've had some time off from not working. I watched two Kingsman movies, and then today I watched the new one with Will Ferrell, Holmes and Watson, and that was funny. But other than that, I'm good.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. I do. Yeah, I'm doing good, and I do need to check out those Kingsman movies. They've been on my list for quite a while, but now they came back up again.
If you like a little bit of like descript gore, like they show a lot of like the killings, I would say it's definitely a good movie for that.
No, that works. I'm fine with that. So I'll have to check that out. But in the meantime, we have a wonderful guest tonight. We have the one, the only, Mr. Exonus. How are you doing, man?
Pretty good. Pretty I need good. To see the other Kingsman movies. I've only seen the first one.
How did you like it? Was it good?
The first one was pretty good, yeah.
Golden Circle is the second one, and it definitely expands on the story. So you got a lot of the pretty much all the same characters from the first, and it expands off of that. I think it was a good second film for sure. So you should definitely check it out.
Wasn't Samuel L. Jackson the bad guy in the first one?
Yes, he was. Right? He was.
Oh yeah. I mean, I remember the previews, seeing things about it, but I don't know too much about it otherwise.
Well, spoiler alert, I don't really want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it, but since I
But you Gunbait will know.
And FUD like to call me out for saying spoiler alert after I already say the spoiler. Thank you guys over there at Just Some Guardians. I just said it before, but it is a good movie. Definitely check it out, and we can reconvene at a later time on that particular movie.
Yeah, we'll do that. Now, Exonus. Now we can call you X for short. Are you good with that? I'm trying to remember.
I don't care as long as I know who you're trying to talk to. I don't really care how you pronounce the name. There's a friend of ours, actually, that calls me Adonis. I don't know where he gets the D from, but apparently he puts it in there.
That's a little different, right? Yeah. Well, tell us about your name. What made you come up with that name, or does it mean anything?
It's a combination of an old name I used to use, Zonic, plus a game I used to play on the computer called Ion. I kind of just ended up twisting them out and mix and match the sounds until it came out with something I liked.
Okay, so to be clear, you heard it here, folks. Is it Azonis then? It's not Azonis,
yes.
Right? Okay, and I knew that. I just forgot. Thanks for reminding me.
No problem.
So, thanks for coming on tonight, man. We've known you for a while in the Destiny community. Before we talk about Destiny tonight, do you mind just telling us a little bit, like, what got you into gaming in general and then the game of Destiny?
I've been a gamer for as long as I can remember, but I was always behind the times, so to speak. My first gaming system was actually a computer that required one floppy disk to start it up. Then you had to take that floppy disk out and put another floppy disk in that would start up the game, starting off with, like, Centipede and Pong and all those old games that my parents had for their computer. And then after that, my friend, I met him when I was like 4 years old, and we've still been friends to this day. And he got to have all the new systems. So when Super Nintendo came out, he had that. He had the N64. By the time the PlayStation 1 came out, I got my first game system, which was a Sega Genesis. So yeah, that just right there proved how far behind the times I was going to continue the trend to be. And I managed to eventually end up catching up to the quote unquote current generation of consoles around the tail end of the PS2. And after that, I was going to jump on a PS3, but Xbox ended up having the 360 come out, and it had the game I wanted on it. And with the Xbox 360 being cheaper, I said, screw it, and I just went over that route. Ended up getting the PS3 later on when a friend of mine ended up wanting to sell his because he was going into the military and he didn't think he'd be able to use it very much. So after that, I tried to stay up as current as I could. I got into Destiny during Rise of Iron, but I was on the PS3 at the time, so I didn't have Rise of Iron. I just got up to Taken King. We were able to play quite a bit. I got obsessed with the swords back after that, and then we eventually beat all the content we could find, and it just so happened our PS3s crapped out. So we got a PS4, and I've been going ever since.
Okay, so you got into the game of Destiny around Rise of Iron, so that's pretty cool. And
Even though I wasn't able to play up to that point.
Yeah, and so you had like pretty much the whole game right there. You didn't have to deal with the early years or anything like that, so that's pretty cool.
Right, I can't even call myself a Taken Tot.
That's okay. It doesn't matter when you get into the game, but I just like hearing everyone's, I mean, I got in a little later myself. I just like hearing everyone's experience.
I got a taste of it from my friends. They got the game Destiny back in vanilla, and I got to play the final mission of vanilla Destiny. And that was my, you might like this type thing. And then I never got into it after that until after Rise of Iron came out when I got it myself. And they had already fallen out of the game by that point. So I had to find other people to play with. Yeah. Which led into finding a podcast to listen to. And then I found Destiny Reset and ended up joining their community. And that's how I found all the people to play with in Derp.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a similar story to a lot of us. It's great how we've found each other over the years, a lot through Destiny Reset and just kind of finding groups to play with and do things in the game. Boy, the game has sure changed a lot. Now we have Destiny 2. And did you like Destiny 2 through most of its life, or did you also kind of feel like during Rise or Curse of Osiris?
Yeah, I've loved Destiny 2 the entire time it's been out, even Curse of Osiris, because I enjoyed the grinding up to the Secure Shell. And when I got everything, I was like, all right, no problem. Time to take a break and go play, catch up on other games that I've been playing and wanting to play. Like that game I've been playing lately, Elite Dangerous, was another one that I wanted to catch up on. Because that's the game I always seem to go back to in between content droughts is Elite. And that's a slow burn game for me, so I'm never going to burn out on that one because I'm always going back to that one after I play all of Destiny that I'm getting my fill of on that.
Yeah, that's a good attitude to have of it, where I agree, like during Curse of Osiris, maybe there wasn't tons to do, but I still enjoyed the game. Actually, for me, I felt like there was tons to do because the Eater World Raid is actually one of my favorites. And funny enough, we just ran that the other night, Eater World's Raid. Trying to remember what our different positions were. You probably remember where I wanted to go. Void.
I was on ARK. You give kitty crap about being on Void. And yeah, I don't know where anyone else was.
I love joking.
I think you ended up on Solar.
How different people tend to have.
Oh, of course, that's the whole point of the raid group, right?
I know, we had a lot of fun
to have
too.
Fun and pick on people.
Yeah, we got it pretty well down at the end. Like, I think I have one phased it once, but usually it's like, okay, we're one phasing it, or we're like three phasing it, and then we two phased it last night, and I hadn't run the raid for a few months, and I forgot how easy it is now, even with people just goofing around or whatever, how easy it is to pass the raid.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of fun though. What do you like if you had to like rank a couple things? It can even be like now because I'm sure opinions can change over time, but what's some of the favorite things you like doing in the game right now?
PvP, Gambit, and strikes, raids, whatever. I'm basically, if I get asked to help in it, I'm going to do it because I like all parts of the game. It doesn't really matter to me.
Okay, okay. But you definitely like PvP and Gambit. It's kind of like some of your, mm-hmm. your things. And I've known that about you with Gambit. Tell me a little bit about Gambit, how you like it and what you like about it, or maybe what you think could change, if anything at all.
I do like the blend of PvE and PvP, so that because most of my people that I play with actually don't like PvP that much, but they'll play it because I'm playing it. And then the couple of others don't like PvP at all, so the ones that kind of like PvP and they'll play with me, and I tend to be the ones to go invade, and we swap off based on whoever has the current the better loadout of the time, whether we have full super or have heavy ready or both. The one who's the better prepared will be the one to go invade, while the other one continue collecting orbs and charging up.
Yeah, and I know what you mean about the people of different roles. And then, of course, Gambit has evolved over time. Do you kind of go more into Gambit Prime now, or do you like Gambit Regular a lot? Or
I don't mind either way, honestly, because with Gambit Prime, you have your more dedicated roles. With that one, we try and, or at least the team I play with, we try and save the heavy boxes for the invader, because we've noticed that those tend to spawn right about the same time that the portal goes up. But if you already have heavy from an enemy dropping on your way back from an invasion, or while you're waiting for the portal to go up, you can have someone else who needs it more go ahead and collect it, because you're going to get more heavy from a brick dropping on the ground anyway.
How do you feel? And this is great discussion we're having tonight. I've always wanted to talk about Gambit some recently. I have some opinions also, but how do you feel about some of these bounties lately that they've had with Moments of Triumphs and all these other things? Because I assume it would probably make sense to run Gambit based prime armor most of the time, but these other bounties have kind of gotten people to do weird things in Gambit and wear weird armor and stuff like that and weird weapons.
Honestly, I haven't played a lot of Destiny after Solstice came out, because when I saw the armor, I was like, all right, it looks cool, but I'm pretty much having to do all the same stuff I did last year. So that's when I ended up switching back into Overleaf for a while. But I can see why you'd want to do the Gambit bounties for the Solstice thing and try and get them done for the Triumphs, to try and work towards the title or whatever it was that they wanted to do. But yeah, mix and matching some armors, it made sense, because you can also use the motes to try and buff up your 3 points towards one of the perks of either one of the armors, and then try and mix and match to get buffs from both sides. So it's understandable that you'd want to do a hybrid set, so to speak.
Yeah, well, and I guess also what I meant, and luckily maybe you haven't seen as much of this lately, but there's been these other like bounties for Moments of Triumph that have gotten people to get certain types of kills, to do certain things with certain weapons, where it's maybe harder to actually win the match because you're not trying as hard. You're just running weapons that maybe you wouldn't want to run, and you're trying to do certain things. And so you don't even care if you win the match or not. You're just running Gambit to run it. And I wonder if they made a mistake with that, with anything, Gambit, whatever. It's like you should have more progress if you win, less progress if you don't. But it was just wear this weird stuff or these weird weapons that you normally wouldn't want to bring in Gambit, do matches. And so I feel like there was a period of time there where like Gambit was just kind of a big mess because people weren't actually trying to win.
And then it's interesting, like, oh my god, just wear the stuff and then intentionally throw the match almost from the sound of it.
Did you run any of that, Sin? I'm trying to remember if we played Gambit. You know, I've had opinion about Gambit lately. But
the biggest thing was the activities for the menagerie, where you had to wear the whole set in order to gain progress, and it didn't matter if you were winning or losing. So basically getting match completions with these sets on. Yeah, it made it a kind of a... It's tough because you can't max out for trying to win the match. You're just wearing whatever armor you can to get those triumphs, or whatever weapons to try to get through the activity so you can move on to something else. I think they did kind of miss the boat a little bit with not tying wins to it, or you know, maybe not necessarily wearing everything.
Probably. And it's probably affected Gambit Prime more, because, of course, that's the one where, in theory, you want to wear the Gambit armor so you can do better. But
right,
in practice, hardly anyone's running the Gambit armor because of all these other bounties they get right. prime armor, or they just didn't bother to get it or whatever. Now, I hit Gambit hard when it first came out, and again when Gambit Prime came out. It was a mode that I thought I would like more than I ultimately do. I mean, I don't like it too much. I get it. It is still pretty fun when you go with the team, because anything you do with the team is pretty fun. I have to admit, even Crucible comp, things like that, I'd way rather do that with the team than solo. But I've been a little turned off with Gambit lately. Maybe it's because I played it a lot, or maybe just it doesn't appeal to me. Now, I don't know what it is about those invasions that happen like every, it seems like to me, every 5 seconds in Gambit Prime. It just gets super
every annoying. 15, 20 seconds if you take down and you have the
I know
the one primeval person up to be able to do damage on the primeval, that's when the activation portal goes, and then it's
do something about
fairly
that.
Often.
I get that's the game mode, but like seriously, like every 10, 15 second, 30 seconds, another invade. It's just what I feel like is, you know, people say Gambit Prime is quicker than Gambit, but like to me, it doesn't feel like it's just such a slog trying to end it, because I'm trying to win the game. I'm trying to bring down the primeval. And I also even have an opinion, like, because we used to have these strats with regular Gambit, like when the primeval comes out, we would min-max and have these really cool spec'd out builds where we would just melt the primeval, and like no one would try to invade from our team either. And now it's like people are invading back and forth. I'm like, guys, let's just melt the primeval, let's just be done with it, you know. And then we can't even melt them because the other team's invading every 15 seconds. So like,
right.
for whatever reason, that's like really kind of turned me off to Gambit. So I hope they can make it more appealing to me in the future. In fact, you know, when they had that
statement about getting rid of one of the game types,
I was like, let's just get rid of Gambit Prime. I'd actually almost prefer regular Gambit. I actually like the third round, because the third
round is interesting.
Yeah, it's like something new, and it doesn't last long because it's all you're doing is melting the primeval. So I actually like that. And again, when you look, I'm all about melting the primeval. When I look at my stats in endgame, I'm usually like 35 on the low end to like 50% of primeval damage, because that is my goal to win quickly. And like I see my other teammates like at 5%, I'm like, come on guys, we could have melted quicker. So I don't know. Can you think of anything, Axe? You know, you don't have to agree with what I said, but like anything you would like changed in the game of Gambit to make it a little more appealing to you?
Honestly, you're not going to like the answer, because probably have the invasion portal come up more often, since I'm the PvPer of the group.
Hey, it's fine. It's fun to talk about this, no matter if we have different
oh, yeah. or not. But I know for me, whenever, in Gambit Prime at least, whenever I'm not invading, I'm always the one on duty for going after the invader, because I seem to be able to get around the map fastest, because I'm always using Blink, or I'm using Dawn Blade with 1,000 voices, depending on how I want to go for my strategy. For how I want to fight other people. So I don't know which role is supposed to technically be the invader killer, but usually that's my duty when everyone else is burning down the primeval. As soon as invader pops, I quit firing at the primeval and I go hunting for the invader.
Yeah, I feel like I almost wonder, like, if people are invading often and we're taking down the invaders often, what's the point of it happening again just another few seconds later? It's like, there should be more at stake. I feel like maybe they could just have something where, yes, you can invade, but something like you lose a little bit of progression on your primeval, or something happens that like ups the ante to really make it worth invading, not just this constant invade. And then I can't think of anything
right. Like off. A high risk, high reward type thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then maybe people would invade a little less and it would just be more, you know, meaningful, if that makes sense.
I have to make it more strategic for sure, yeah. Because yeah. there have been times where they have only a sliver and then I go over and invade, and if I manage to get an army of one, that's guaranteed guaranteed we have that match for sure by that point, because of how much the primeval gets healed.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, anyways, it's an interesting game mode. I wonder what will happen, too, when Shadowkeep comes out. It seems like, you know, they haven't said anything about like Dreaming City or Gambit or some of these older activities of how meaningful they will be with powerful rewards. It almost seems like at one point they hinted they want to make the world more meaningful, more current. So I don't know if these activities will be dropping powerful rewards anymore. They, but it doesn't even matter because they did say that legendaries will often be at your level. So in essence, they will, just, you know, coincidentally, but they probably won't have those powerful, you know, do five gambits for the week and you get a powerful drop. That's probably what they'll get rid of, I'm assuming.
The daily milestones, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah, those. Well, Sin, maybe you guys can get me in Gambit a little bit more, and I can actually get my... So all this being said, I probably should hop in it because I have everything for Dredgen, like literally everything except for my third reset, and I'm at 8,000 points.
So
I probably should go for it, right?
Right there. It doesn't take long for the infamy resets.
We can get that done so quickly.
Yeah,
I know. Just for the title's sake. And then I'll truly be done and never play Gambit again. Just kidding.
Aw. I'll do all the PvP stuff for you. All you do is go around and shoot stuff and collect modes.
Hey, that's the thing. If anyone knows me recently, I've said I'd rather do comp PvP rather than Gambit these days.
Holy crap. You want to do PvP?
I do.
Every time I've tried to bribe you with your Syros Catalyst, you said no.
Hey, these days I'm getting more towards that actual meaning it. So like I'm always, of course, going to pick a raid first, but these next couple of weeks, assuming I'm not in Borderlands too much, we can talk about that quickly, but I will actually be up for hopping in some comp here and there. So
you need to get Recluse, and I need to get Mountaintop, which I'm going to struggle with these grenade kills. Trying to get heavy and trying to get those medals is a royal pain.
You want a tip?
Let's hear it. Let's hear the pro tip.
I got it from Mo. You want to be a hunter with Tether and use Colony and hit two of them at the same time. That way you can get your multi-kills at the same time instantly. You only need one grenade from Colony if they're tethered. And run Malicious Birthright and a secondary grenade launcher. So you're basically, you're forced, because switching grenade launchers is actually going to get you your grenade launcher ready back faster than if you were to just run one grenade launcher and reload it.
Huh.
You're only going to get one shot per grenade launcher compared to your two if you're just running one, but you're actually able to get to that second shot faster if you just switch your weapon.
Huh. So Tether Hunter, so Malicious Birthright. Right. Maybe I can try that in Iron Banner here in a few.
Yeah, my loadout at the time was I used a Hunter with Tether, Malicious Birthright, Orwing's Maul in the second slot, and Colony in the third. And then once I got the multi-kills done with the Tether, I just switched back to my Warlock because I was better at playing that anyway. For the calculated trajectory. But if you can get three people tethered and kill them with the Colony, that's a multi-kill and a calculated trajectory at the same time. And in comp, obviously, the calculated trajectory goes up faster.
I might have to try that.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's jump into comp some. Let's also, I would love it if you guys would just honor me once. Just do a fun little thing in Gambit where we should have a competition of who can get the most primeval damage where we're actually trying to melt them. You know what I mean? No invasions, anything like that. Just melt the primevals.
Who's the Titan?
Oh, Sin's a Titan.
Sin's always Titan.
Yeah.
Okay, what spec do you normally run for Gambit specifically?
What were you saying? Like, what's a good loadout for Titans?
No, I'm asking what he runs, because I'm going to suggest Melting Point if it's not that one.
Yeah, I always run Melting Point. Hammer Strike, basically. That's typically what I run.
All right, so there was a point where a friend of mine, he was running a... Crap, what's it called? Hammer Titan with Melting Point. And the enemy team had just a sliver of health left on their boss. We had about a fourth, a fifth left on ours. We had enough stacks built up, luckily, for Primeval Slayer buff, whatever it's called off the top of my head, I can't remember. But I threw the Nova. It was a Slova Bomb. He Melting Pointed. My Nova hit about half a second after he hit the buff on it. And we managed to completely just sweep the win out from under the enemy team.
Ooh. I love stuff like that. See, that's where Gambit is fun for me, because then it makes this whole back and forth almost worth it.
Mm-hmm. If we have hunters on our team, I will have people use Night Stalker, and I will try and Nova Bomb both envoys at the same time if I can.
Yes, exactly. You want, yeah, exactly. I was going to mention that. Tethers, you know, get the you know, and then the envoys, and then Nova Bomb, and especially when Skull of Dire Ahamkara was better, but you can still get some back.
Oh, I missed that day. I miss those days.
You can melt both the envoys, have your Nova Bomb right back, and then hit the boss right away again.
But the hunters got lucky because Shards of Galanor did not get hit the same way, because it regenerates in a different way than ours does, and they only need hits. They do not need kills the way Ahamkara does. So if you get to the third round and you have hunters on your team, every single one of them, if they have Shards of Galanor, needs to switch to Blade Barrage, because you can just keep hitting it and hitting it and hitting it.
Yeah, there's some fun things you can do, that's for sure.
I'm going to make my competition harder if any of them hear me.
And we'll just have Sin sit in the corner punching and then eating crayons.
Crayons.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have been seeing Bad Destiny joke on Twitter as well, then, I see.
Yeah, we like joking about those things.
Familiar with Cole's work.
I found that recently, like a month ago. I was like, oh my God, why have I not seen these sooner?
Yeah, some good stuff. Well, right on. Let's just talk a couple minutes about some interesting things that came out in the news lately. We don't have to spend a lot of time, and then we'll just kind of like, you know, talk about whatever we want at the end. Anything you want to talk about. But we did get a really cool Vidoc this last week. I've been super impressed with it. Yeah, hopefully you've watched that, Sin.
Yeah, I've actually been super impressed, not just with that piece of work, but the amount of content they've been putting out almost every day. Yeah, they've been putting out the video, the lore. They've been on it this week to get everybody on that hype train for the first. And really, we're only less than 2 weeks away. We're on the cusp of it.
I'm glad that they can show us more. I'm just so intrigued and excited to go back to the moon. And, you know, they say it's going to look different to me in a way. Like, yeah, I want higher fidelity, but I don't want the moon to look too different. I'm like excited to go back and go to familiar areas. And of course, I'm excited there'll be the new areas too. But I like kind of want to, I want to be running through those hallways again. And I remember this. And just, you know, doing patrols and shooting enemies and in these new instances of D2 where we have our weapons and the enemies are harder. I'm so excited. Just everything that they've shown with two new strikes and the dungeon, they showed some of that. Boy, it's exactly what I was hoping and speculating about, just going down deeper, deeper, deeper into the moon. And it sounds like it'll be a fun thing.
Right.
Vex offensive, raid, of course. Now, we did find out today in today's TWAB of they mentioned some numbers of we knew this already, but there was going to be the what is that word called again? The power, not power competition, but where they're kind of holding the power
competition caps. Mode. It's competition mode, basically.
Okay, yeah.
Got power caps.
Yeah. So basically what they told us in the TWAB was, for the first encounter, power above 890 will not do anything for you. And for the final fight, power above 920 won't do anything for you. Okay, 890? Jeez, I don't think we're going to be day one doing this too much again, Sin, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what, 140 over the max or the cap once Shadowkeep starts. Since they're bringing everything up to 750, you're basically grinding out 140 light levels in 4 days.
That's going to be the fastest I've ever gone up.
Now, the only benefit that I can see to getting to that level quicker is the fact that the legendary drops are going to drop at level versus at possibly being a lower piece of equipment than what we had before. So I guess what they're anticipating is the level grind is going to be a little bit quicker.
Plus, I do feel like it will.
The Gate Lord's Eye, the artifact, is supposed to give a light level increase with that as well. So I think with the combination of the actual natural level plus the Gate Lord's Eye giving you a level increase, you're probably going to get fairly close to that without a lot of effort. But those to get higher are probably going to be putting in a lot more effort, obviously.
I do hope. And I think you're right. We could be, if any season, this is the season where probably progression will move super fast. And that's okay, because we know it's going up really high. In fact, with the artifact, it's going up unlimited high, at least for a temporary period. So just however much you want to grind it. So it makes sense that they're doing that power competition cap again. And we probably will level up faster. You're right, with the legendaries dropping at level. And so we'll just see when it comes. They showed two emblems for completing the raid. Of course, they will have the belt again for the first team of six to complete the raid. And they will have a special emblem for any groups that complete within the first 24 hours. And then they showed another emblem below it for just completing the raid at all. I actually like the second emblem better. Although the first one, of course, will be exclusive.
Yeah, the second one is super nice looking.
Yeah. There's some cool looking emblems. So I'm excited for that. Oh, we know that the patch will be called 2.6. Big whoop, but yeah, we weren't sure if they were going to bring it up to 3 or just do a 2-point thing again. And we also learned that if you play on PC and again, migrate to Steam, you got to tie your account. Pretty much everyone's already done that, but if you haven't done that, to attach your Steam account to Bungie, because you won't be able to play if you don't do that. When Shadowkeep comes out on October 1st, there may be a little bit of a wait for Forsaken to activate if you are, I guess if you haven't played on PC yet, because I don't know, I cross-save in Forsaken, although I did already purchase Forsaken on PC also, but they made it sound like all the free-to-play stuff will be fine and Shadowkeep will be fine, but Forsaken entitlements may take some period of time before they are active on Steam. Oh, well, that's right. Of course, yeah, I have purchased it. It doesn't matter because it's moving from Battle.net to Steam. I could see some people complaining because the main thing that people may want to do is run Last Wish raid in some of those other raids if they still drop powerful rewards somewhat. Again, it may not matter as much with everything else going on.
But right.
Hopefully when they say it may take some time, they didn't really say, but that could be like a day or two. That's what I'm guessing. I don't think it's going to be like weeks or anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully not forever. Or not a long time to get people that want to play those activities right after the launch. They'll mm-hmm. be able to access them fairly quick.
And then also this week, another thing that I was we saw a graphic of all the different rewards. You know, we've seen bits and pieces of it so far, but all the different you call them the punch out lists for the season pass for the paid versus the free track. We still don't know what all of them mean, but it's kind of interesting to look at it and see, okay, there's this and this, and you can kind of see how when you go further up the free track doesn't have as many things. And the thing I have to keep reminding myself too, so like when we get the paid track, we get the paid and the free, right? It's not like we're only getting the paid. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then if you're free.
From my understanding, it's both tracks.
Yeah. So you basically will get double drops.
Correct.
Whenever the free track is dropping something also. Yeah. Lots of exciting stuff. We are what? Like a couple weeks away? We are getting close. Yeah.
I think so.
So.
Just under.
Yeah.
I mean, we're recording this on the 19th and what? So, yeah, just under 2 weeks.
That's exciting.
About 12 days, roughly.
Basically, we have to do some comp. We have to do some raids, maybe some Gambit, or we can also do Borderlands.
Some more Borderlands.
Let's just take 2 minutes talking about Borderlands. I mean, I know there's people in the in our community that also play. It's a fun game. What have you thought of Borderlands?
My initial thought, I really enjoy the gunplay on it. I got it on PC. There's a few people that I know we've known that have gotten it on console, whether it's Xbox or PS4. I believe Danfinity's playing on PS4, if I'm not mistaken, if we had that discussion.
Yeah, and some of the guys over at Guardian Down are on PS4, and I know some good guys play on Xbox. So people are kind of all over, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah.
The gameplay on PC, though, is really, really nice, just from the little bit that I've gotten to play it. And I'm not grinding it out by any stretch of the imagination like what we do with Destiny?
Yeah, if I had to guess, probably like both of us are maybe, what, a fourth or a third of the way through the game? I don't even know. I looked up once what how many quests there were, but...
Maybe a third, I would imagine. It's, I mean, what, level 15, 16, and there's some people that already have multiple characters up to snuff, and just playing an hour or two here and there, I think has been nice. It's a nice break. It kind of breaks things up from the Destiny grind, doing the same thing over and over. I really enjoy, I call it rugged as far as the graphics, because it has that kind of rugged appeal to it. And I never got really much into Borderlands 2, but with starting Borderlands 3 from the start, I think that for me was a win.
It's been a pleasure of a game. I did a little bit of Borderlands 2, and I was kind of like hemming and hawing if I was going to get this game. And then people were saying, yeah, it is fun, and we're buying it a lot already. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to cave. And, you know, we kind of got it about the same time. And I've also been playing some with Claire and I and Mojafo, and boy, I'm pleasantly surprised. Gunplay is great. Quality of life stuff. Tons of weapons, of course. And the exploration story mode of it, there's a lot to do. And of course, the storyline and the comedy is on point. From you never know what they're going to come up with, from big wars happening over coffee, someone not getting the coffee that they want, to like wars over like this guy who's like a celebrity, and the female, you know, children of the vault groupies are like having competitions of killing each other so that they can have him. And it's just, the game's hilarious.
Yeah. That's just, have you gotten into the Dinklebot joke yet?
I haven't gotten there. I don't know where that is.
Yeah, neither have I.
Yeah. I figure I'm doing all the side missions, so I'll do it eventually.
Yeah. Now, Axe, have you been playing it at all, or just, I know we had a little bit of discussion earlier, previously, that Elite Dangerous has kind of been your side thing, but have you ventured into the Borderlands, did you say?
I played a couple of the original Borderlands when friends got it, but it never really was my thing as much. It seems more like a game I'd be more willing to watch than it would be to play. No, I'm pretty weird with games I get, because like, for like, I'll pick like one or two games from a genre, but then I usually don't like much of the other games from that genre. Like, I like, for shooters, I like Destiny for first-person shooters, but Call of Duty? Mm-mm. Pick another one. I probably won't like it. Just, I don't know. For some reason, Destiny worked for me for first-person shooters. Anthem works for me for third-person, but I don't like Gears of War. I don't like other third-person shooters like that either. For some reason, Anthem works. Maybe because I can fly around. I don't know. Elite Dangerous, I like it because I can fly around in a spaceship and it lets me do everything in space that I can't do in Destiny's loading screens. For my hack and slash games, I like Devil May Cry. But yeah, no Borderlands, unfortunately.
That's okay, yeah.
It just never clicked.
Yeah, and I think you're right. A lot.
I do think Claptrap's hilarious, though. I will say that.
Yes. Claptrap is hilarious.
Yeah, he's a little bit more behind the scenes in this one so far, I feel. I mean, he was with us at the beginning. Now, forgive me, I didn't play a lot of Borderlands 2, so maybe he became more behind the scenes in that game too, but I seem to remember him being like a more of a bigger sidekick. Anyways, yeah, it's a fun game, but there's always too much to do, right? Like, I want to be in Borderlands all the time, but I also want to be in Destiny all the time, and no worry, listeners, we are not going away from Destiny. We are the hardest core Destiny fans there is, but there's nothing wrong with hopping in other games from time to time, right?
Yeah, just because we're on a diet. I was going to say, just because we're on a diet doesn't mean we can't sample the menu.
Exactly.
I can't claim hardcore title unless you're talking about hardcore casual, because I am the only thing I'm hardcore about is being casual.
Hey, I think of you as a hardcore player. I mean, anyone who can raid at all. I mean, what they say, like only like sometimes 5% of the population have passed a raid. So I don't know. You do all the stuff.
Yes, but how often do you see me leading those raids?
Oh, you don't even lead it to be good at it. In fact, you know what? I would like to not lead raids. I just want to chill and have someone else do it.
Right.
Oh man.
Is that why you join my raid? So you don't have to lead them.
Right. Yeah. We'll have you or Kitty or someone. It and then I can just sit back and chill. It was nice just hopping in again that year of World Raid the other night. So I'm like, okay, I know this one's easy for me. I'm not going to have to explain what to do. I have preferred positions, but it really doesn't matter. I can do any of them fine. So, you know, I had a lot of fun there. Well, anything else that we wanted to talk about this week? Feel free, guys. Otherwise, I guess we can move on to our closing segment.
Yeah, I think we covered a pretty good ground. I think all of our hopes is down to once Shadowkeep comes around, I'm sure we'll have millions and millions of things to talk about.
Podcast nightly, yeah, right.
we got Dan over at Destiny Digest.
I know he does that. Yeah. All right. Well, in our closing segment, as honest, we like to ask people one simple but very important question. What is your favorite dessert?
Oh, crap. I didn't even prepare
for
this.
And we like to put people on the spot.
I noticed. There is a little ice cream shop up here called Granny's that serves, I don't know if you've had Dairy Queen or not, but it rivals how good Dairy Queen can get.
So, like an ice cream type thing, obviously, then, is where you're going at? So,
yeah. If you can do a Butterfinger Blizzard, those are amazing. Ooh. That's the only dessert I can think of off the top of my head. Otherwise, I'm not really a big sweets person, but if I do sweets, I usually go like a cake or ice cream or something like that.
That works. That sounds really good.
That actually makes me a craving because we have a Dairy Queen around here.
Unfortunately, Granny's is only open seasonally because it's you literally drive up to the shop and order at the window. You don't go inside.
Gotcha.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yep. Desserts are good. I need to get, again, one of my favorite ones. I like carrot cake a lot, but I also like chocolate cake, and there's this really good one that I haven't had for a while.
I don't think anybody's actually said, like, pineapple upside down cake yet.
Ooh, I like that.
You know, pineapple upside down cake, my mom used to make it when we were growing up, and it's been a while since I've had a good pineapple upside down cake, not going to lie.
Ooh, I'll go
ahead and pineapple in general.
it's not allowed on pizza. For me, at least.
I agree.
A cake, but because you get that little bit of you get a little cherry in the middle.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So Sin, if we can ever meet up, either me in your area or you, make a huge pineapple upside down cake to share with us all.
Yeah, absolutely. If you come out to the East Coast, there will be one. Don't you worry.
It's worth it. Well, excellent. Dessert time at the end of the podcast always makes me hungry to eat afterwards.
So tonight before, like I didn't really eat much all day because I've been taking care of the kiddos and I ate just like a Chick-fil-A sandwich for dinner and it wasn't very filling. So after the kids and everybody went to bed, I totally ordered pizza and wings from the local pizza place.
Nice.
And had it delivered.
There you go.
So I pigged out right before the podcast. It was excellent.
There you go. We'll do stuff like that a lot. We have one kid that lives in the house with us, and me and my wife will just be like, okay, we'll have like dinner, but then we'll have dinner again. Like we're not spending a lot of money on him. We're just, we'll have like a small dinner. And then are we still hungry? Okay, let's order a second dinner.
Get him set up on the ramen bandwagon now, just so he knows what college is going to be like.
He can pay for fancier dinners when he has his own job. Oh, man, so mean.
Well, fortunately, our kids are not old enough for, like, if we go to a fancy dinner, we'll just go and do that on our own. But most of the time, all of our dinners are fast anyway, because that's the kind of food that they like, and that's what they'll eat. Mm-hmm. And we don't like starving them, so
yeah,
we go with that.
Well, excellent. Good discussion tonight. Let's get into our housekeeping section of the evening. We do have one new podcast review that has been around for a couple weeks. And thank you, Mr. Monkey, for reminding me, because Mr. Monkey is in the United Kingdom. And so these reviews don't show up as easily for us, but I was able to look that up. And I will have a podcast review aggregator in the future. So if anyone else wants to review us in another country other than the United States, feel free, and I will be able to get that much more timely now. But Mr. Monkey says, great positive atmosphere with two great presenters and amazing varied guests. super supportive Discord, and had the pleasure of raiding with Kingsley. Very patient, great teacher, doesn't make you feel like the weak link. Well, thank you, Mr. Monkey. We appreciate you and listening to the show.
Well, thank you very much for that review.
Yeah, and by the way, everyone's giving us 5 stars. You don't have to. You can honestly review whatever you think. It's just more about leaving a message for us. It helps us get found, and we like to read it on the show. But we always, of course, appreciate the 5-star reviews.
You have to leave us a 5-star, because anything less than 5-star is failing.
That's right. All right, so that's pretty much it for the main housekeeping section. We don't have anything else big to talk about right now, but as always, we have great guests lined up in the future. If anyone has anyone that they want on the show, please just message us and we'll see if we can reach out to them. Or if you're interested in being on the show, let us know also. As we close out tonight, Azanis, please tell the lovely listeners if you would like any ways that they can find out about you. You stream some, right?
Every time I'm online.
And we do have you listed in our Discord, but please tell the listeners on the podcast also, just in case they aren't in our Discord.
I'm pretty much Azanis89 everywhere you can find me. So Twitter, Twitch, I guess not Discord, but yeah, Twitter and Twitch are the main places to find me. If you can't find me in those, obviously I'm on Discord, but it shouldn't be too hard to find me, as far as I'm aware.
Yep. Well, everyone who's listening who hasn't joined the Discord, please do so, because we have a great channel where you can see a lot of our guests when they do stream. It'll pop up automatically. So that is another easy way to find people.
Plus, that's where we have all of our shenanigans.
Yeah, Discords are fun. You do not have to be... You can be a lurker if you want, but it's just fun to join the Discord and see what we're all talking about. Basically just a chat message board, if you're not sure what that means. But yeah, well worth joining. And the link to that is on our website. If you go to theguardianhub.com and then click on the About Us section, you can see a link to get into our Discord and our clan if you want to join our clan. So that was basically, I already gave our show information out, but let's back up. And Sin, where can people find you?
You can find me on twitch.tv/SinMedia and on Twitter at Sin_Media. Kingsley. Since we didn't get that proposal tonight for Kitty for Max, why don't you tell the lovely listeners where they can find you and make a match made in heaven?
I mean, I am already married, and we had my wife on a couple episodes again. But yes, you can match into our Discord if you would like. So please do that, everyone. Yeah, you can find me as Kingsley Mac on PlayStation and on Twitch. And on Twitter, I am MC Kingsley. And again, the show is at theguardianhub.com and also on Twitter as The Guardian Hub. Well, thanks, everyone. It's been a fun evening, a fun week, as usual, in the game. Thank you so much for joining us, Adonis. It's been a pleasure having you on.
Yes, thank you very much for jumping on.
Yeah.
Yeah, anytime you want me to join in, just let me know.
Great. And everyone, have a good week. Goodbye.
Bye.
See you later.
See you later, alligator.
Hey, my pot's right there.
Killed her net. Killed the net.
What are you doing?
I'm on a podcast episode.
Really?
Yeah.
I asked you to help me with comp. That's more important.
You didn't ask me to help
you
with comp.
Yes, I did. And then I asked Sin.
This is what Sin and Kingsley asked me to join for, was for an episode of Gambit, or talk about Gambit.
Episode of Gambit.
You suck at Gambit.
Quit your bitching. You can't invade for crap.
That is so staying in the end.
What? They said they're staying in.
What?
They heard all that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. You're on the episode now.
Delete that, Sin. Oh, no. I mean it. Delete it.
That's not going anywhere. Nice try.
I was using the left like a little bit.
Were you spraying your teammates?
I was spraying my teammates.
That's my favorite way to use Telesto. Just put have all my
so
teammates.
That kind of works in like twofold, because cats technically spray anyway. So you were spraying your teammates.
Yes. Sin, that yep. goes on. I'm never listening to your podcast again. Yes,
you will at least one more just to make sure.
Yep. He's got a point.
Yes, he does.